It is a good morning. Just one moment, brother. This shiur is dedicated to the memory of Rivka Bas Avram, Olei HaShalom. Can I say who Rivka Bas Avram was? She was Kim Isaac's aunt who raised him. Raised him. How long ago did she pass away? I don't know. All right, listen, she should, the shiur, the study of Torah, should be Le'ili Nishmata. All right. We're in the middle of chapter 8. Now I'm going to bring you up to date. And we're even going to start about two psukim earlier. Pasuk 12, Pasuk Yudbet. We're really up to Pasuk Yudalet, Pasuk Yudbet in chapter 8. In chapter 8, Daniel has seen a vision. He's by the river Ulai, at that river, someplace in Babel. The vision that he sees is he sees a ram. And the ram has two horns. One grows bigger than the other. Ram is mighty, powerful. It destroys all animals, all beasts before it. And then there's a second animal. And this one is a goat. And the goat comes from the west and seems to fly across the world, and with great power and intensity, the goat shatters and destroys the ram. All right, there are the ram. There are all sorts of details about the ram, and we will see about that as well. There's a little horn. In Pasuk 9 it said that there were four horns, and from one of the horns another small one comes out. We'll have to see what the significance of the four horns is. And now, finally, toward the end of the vision, in Pasuk 12, you'd bet, V'tzavot tinatein al hatamid v'fasha v'tashleich emet arza. The word tzava has a number of meanings. Tzava, of course, we know means hosts. Tzava means army, all from the same meaning. Tzava also means a fixed time. In Eov, Pasuk says that there is tzava la'adam. Man has a fixed amount of time on the face of this earth. Tzava, both meanings of the word tzava apply here. Tzava, let's use the meaning that it is a there's a fixed time, there's a period of time tinatein that will be given. Al hatamid, and when they use the word tamid, they're talking about the fact that there's somebody who came into the Beit Hamikdash and he stopped. He called a halt to the constant sacrifice, the korban tamid, the daily sacrifice. And there's a fixed time how long that will last. It's not going to go on to into eternity, but there is a fixed time. And the one who did this fasha, the one who did it befasha, there is a fixed time, and an army is going to come against him. And the tashleich emet arza, this power. That destroyed the Tamid, stopped the sacrifices in the Beit HaMikdash, and it can be either Greece or Rome. Greece during the time of Antiochus, or Rome, of course, Titus, ultimately the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash. What they did was, the Tashleich Emet Arzoh, they cast truth down to the earth. Who cast truth down to the earth? The pasuk is going back. We're still talking about that little, the little horn. The little horn. And as we say, the little horn is going to represent either Antiochus or Titus. He's going to cast the truth of Yahadut, of Judaism, down to the earth. V'asta, they're going to do terrible things, v'hitzlicha. But he's going to succeed. There's going to be tremendous success. v'eshma'a. Now, might as well add on this pasuk, pasuk 12, the Ralbag says that the tzavah tinatein, the tzavah, the hosts that are going to be given into the hands of this little horn, hatzavahu Yisrael. These are the words of the Rabbah. He says that tzavah refers to the Jewish people, will be given into the hands of Antiochus al Devar Hatamid. See, many of the person here also see that there are two enemies of the Tamid. One enemy of the Tamid is, of course, the forces of an evil Greek empire. Wasn't always evil. Greece was a very, very benign occupier of Eretz Yisrael until Antiochus. But they were joined by Jews, the Hellenistic Jews, who sinned and were also opposed to the Talmud. In other words, the enemy, had a fish column from within. So the Ralbag says this tzavah that is ultimately going to have to pay for their sins includes not only Greece, but also includes Jews in their midst who had joined with the forces of Greece. There are others who say that the word tzavah over here refers to idolatry which took the place of the Korban Tamid. There's a pasuk in Devarim that says that God tells the Jewish people that they should not bow down to tzavah Hashamayim, the forces of the heaven. So it means there are going to be terrible things that are going to be happening here. Greeks will be guilty. Jews who are going to join with them will be guilty. Antiochus is going to cast the truth of Torah down to the ground, and he will succeed. This, for all intents and purposes, is the end of his vision, but he doesn't know yet. Daniel doesn't know what it's referring to. So he says, Eshma, I heard, Echad Kadosh Medaber, a holy one speaking. Vayome Echad Kadosh La Palmoni Hamedaber. Now, it means, first of all, up until now, he has not heard voices, he has seen vision. Now he begins to hear a voice. It's the voice of a holy one. What he's really hearing is a conversation between two holy ones, because he also hears Echad Kadosh, one holy one said La Palmoni Hamedaber, to the Palmoni who speaks. And who is the Palmoni? So he said that this is a contraction of Ploni Almoni. Now over here, usually when we use the term Ploni Almoni, we assume like it's John Doe. And that's not what it means over here. Over here, Ploni Almoni means, Ploni comes from the word Pele, some kind of a miraculous being. And even the Almoni means one who is anonymous, unknown, hidden, concealed. The Palmoni is the miraculous concealed one, an angel. So he hears a conversation taking place between two angels. And he says, the angel says the following. Now this part of the pasuk, we have to get this pasuk down pat, because there are words and phrases that are going to become key phrases from here until the end of Sefer Daniel. And he says that the discussion that's going on between the two angels that he hears, Ad Matai Hechazon Hatamid V'Hapesha Shomen. How long will this continue? Rabbi Sadia Gaon says there are a few questions being asked here. How long will the absence or the removal of sacrifice, the Tamid that we've talked about, how long will there not be a sacrifice brought in the Bet HaMikdash? How long will decrees, evil decrees, be brought against Israel? How long will the earth, the land, be desolate and destroyed? How long will the desecration of the of the nation continue. So this Rashi then sees at Masai, there are a lot of things that happen. There's a desecration of the Beit HaMikdash, there's a desecration of the people, there are all sorts of evil decrees that are brought upon them. There is no sacrifice taking place in the Beit HaMikdash. How long is this going to be? How long will what be? Hatamid, the absence of the carbon tamid, v'hapesha, the rebelliousness, shomein. Now the word shomein has a number of meanings. It can it usually, and in this context, according to most of the Farshim, what it means is the crime that has taken place that causes shimimon, meaning wonder. A person wonders, why is this happening? It is something that the one who gazes upon it is in a sense completely confused as to why this is happening. The word shomein and pesha will be used a number of times, and it, more specifically kate, the kodesh, the tzavah, mirmas, which means the following. How long will there be this desecration? And take what is being placed? The question at the beginning, Ad Matai, how long? How long? Ad Matai HaChazon, how long is this going to be? Refers to Tate, the Kodesh, which means how long will the Kodesh be given? The Kodesh and the Tzavah. Kodesh and the Tzavah mean, Kodesh is the holy Beit HaMikdash. Tzavah are the masses of Jews. How long will they be trampled? In other words, read it first. Ad Matai HaChazon HaTamid. How long will it be that this vision of no sacrifice or the Beit HaMikdash is sinfully desolate? How long is that going to be? And then again, Ad Masai, how long will it be that Tate, the Kodesh, the Tzavah, Mirmas, the Kodesh and the Tzavah, Kodesh represents the Jewish people, Kodesh is the Beit HaMikdash, Tzavah is the Jewish people, how long are they going to be Mirmas, how long are they going to be trampled? That they are Shehin Netunim, that they are given into a state of they are given and placed in a state of being trampled. Who? Kodesh and Tzavah. Kodesh is the Beit HaMikdash and Tzavah is the Jewish people. Vayomer Eli. Now again, still we started off with a conversation between two angels, and now finally the angel one asked angel two, Ad Matai, how long is it going to be? Angel 2, when he responds directly to Daniel. Vayomer Eli, he said to me, don't ask me the meaning of this pasuk yet. Yet. Av erev boker, until evening morning, alpayim ushlosh meyot, 2,300, v'nitzdak kodesh. And then kodesh will find justice, there will be nitzdak, there will be justice done with the Kodesh. Kodesh, as we said in the previous pasuk, is who? Kodesh is the Beit HaMikdash. Kodesh is Beit HaMikdash. So that means there will be a period of Erev Boker. Erev Boker obviously represents days, a 24-hour period, right? Alpayim u shlosh meot, 2,300. We will yet see what this means. We're going to have to take all of the calculations together. Some we are permitted. You see, right away, the Malach is going to tell him that this is Sodi Biyoteh. This is very secret. But we'll see. Some of the Mepharshim do attempt to take the times that are mentioned here and give them some kind of meaning. Now, under the Nitzdak Kodesh, the Mitzudas Dovah, for example, says that Kodesh speaks not only of Beit HaMikdash, but the Am Kodesh. It refers to both Beit HaMikdash and the Jewish people will emerge righteous. Vayehi, and it came to pass, Biroti Ani Daniel et HaChazon, when I, Daniel, saw this vision, Vavakshob Bina. Now remember,
he doesn't know all the things that I let you in on. That we're talking about Paras and Madai, who the Sahir is, who the Tzvir Izim, who the Ayal is, and who the Tzvir Izim is. Daniel is in the dark. He doesn't know what it's all about. So he says, Avaksha Bina, I sought understanding. Bina, of course, means the meaning, what's behind it all. In other words, he can tell you the whole story as he saw it, but he doesn't know what it means. And behold, suddenly, standing before me is somebody who looks like a man. Somebody who looks like a man. Of course, we'll see in a moment why he is referred to as somebody who looks like a gever. Why not Ish? When the Malachim come to Avram, so it says, there are three men standing there. Why is he called Gever? And you'll see right away why he's called. Very good. That's Atzmo. Oh gosh. You'll see it in the next pasuk. You'll see in the next pasuk what she said. And I heard the voice of a man, Bain Ulai. Ulai, remember, was the name of the river he's standing at. It seems that even the voice is coming to him from upon the waters. Vayikra, Vayomer. The voice calls out and says, Gavriel. Gavriel? Gever? In other words, we are already given an indication in the passage before that this is a Gavriel, a Gever. A godly man. Explain to that one, him, the vision. Now, the word halaz is one of those words that, you know, you can see it a number of ways. I get the feeling that it's usually used. I'll give you one of the examples where it is used. I think it's David. Young David comes to the camp and he hears Goliath, the Plishti, Goliath coming out and blaspheming the community of God. So he says, like, Ha Plishti Halaz, that Philistine. Doesn't seem to be a terribly complimentary way to talk about it. We also have the word halaz that a malach uses it with regard to Zechariah. Go explain to halaz. Here it's similar to here. Go explain to halaz what it is that he is seeing. I think that the word is used halaz in order to separate and differentiate and show the vast difference and distance between man and angel. In terms of angel, this is mere mortal, halaz. This one. Yes?
The word halaz there also has a very negative connotation.
Where do we have halaz there? Huh? This week's parasha? Okay. Over there it says, Zot. Hotziu zot me'alai. After Amnon. All right, so we have to get out our. Either we have to get out our tackling tower and check it out on the. Or the computer, yes. That's right. But I try not to use it. I try not to use it because I don't know how to use it. And it's more fun. It's more fun to know the passage. So here. But over here, it's not meant in an uncomplimentary way as a plishti halaz, but just to show the difference. So we're talking about a malach who's telling another malach, show it, you know, mere mortal, little human over there, explain it to him. Havein, let him understand et ha mar'eh, make him understand the vision. Vayovo etzolamdi, and the malach came to where I was standing. Ubevo Owen, when he came, Nivati, I was frightened, I was terrified. Ve'epla al panai, and I fell upon my face. Vayomer Eli, and he said to me, Havein ben Adam. Understand this, son of man. Now, a number of things are happening over here. First of all, the fact that here, Daniel is being referred to in the same way that Yecheskel, God refers to Yecheskel throughout the Sefer as Ben Adam. Ben Adam. Now, it's not to be understood in the same way that we understand the term. I think in Hebrew, the term Ben Adam, if you want to say somebody is a mensch, that's a Ben Adam. There's a different meaning when you say he's a getter, you know. But a Ben Adam seems in Hebrew to be more of mensch. When Yecheskel is referred to as Ben Adam, he is referred to Ben Adam because he is being shown at the beginning of the Sefer, he is shown the heavenly court itself. In a sense, he sees the divine chariot, the throne. So God wants to remind him, never lose sight of the fact that despite your seeing such awesome visions, never forget that you are Ben Adam. I would sort of to bring him down to know exactly what his place is. In a sense, similar to the Lahalaz of the Pasuk before. You're seeing awesome things, but you must know that you still remain man. The fact is that Daniel also has seen something similar to what Yechezkel sees. Because remember, the chapter before, he sees the Atik Yomin, the ancient one who comes to sit on the great throne in judgment. This is a glimpse of the Almighty, and therefore he is referred to as Ben Adam. Also, Havein Ben Adam, the Bain and the Bain following one another. Havein Ben Adam, man who has understanding. Is he the first one who falls upon his face? You should know we have that a number of times. Avram, when God appears to him at the Brit Beit HaPtarim, the falling upon the face represents a loss the ability to stand physically. It we will see the description is just about fainting from the fright or being overwhelmed by the awesomeness of the vision. And so here, this is what happens to who else falls upon his face? Who?
Moshe and Aaron.
Go ahead. One more. Yahushua.
Right.
When the Sar Tzofor Hashem, he's standing outside of Yericho, I think it's at the end of chapter 3 or 4, he's standing outside of Yericho, and all of a sudden this vision of an angel appears to him and tells him, Shal, now, Chomi Al-Raglecha, take your shoe off, you're standing on Admat Kodesh, and he asks him, are you friend or foe? So there also, the vision is a frightening one. Havein ben Adam, so he said to me, Havein ben Adam, ki le'et keitzach azam. Well, I didn't tell you the meaning of the, what was it, 2,300? Most probably, first of all, I don't really know. But no, there are a bunch of shopping. But the Pasuk says that the Malach is telling you, Shemotah, what you're seeing is le'et keitzach azam. This is not something that's going to happen right now. What you are seeing is an indication of what is going to be at the very end, the end of time. That's when it's for. Don't think that what you are seeing now is something that's going to happen in the near future. Ubedabroimi, and when he spoke to me, nirdamti alpanai arza. Here is an intensification of what happened before. He fell upon his face, but he seems still to be in a state of wakefulness. But then nirdamti. By Avram it says that the Brit Bein Avtarim that a Tardema overcame him. That was sort of a deep sleep. He is losing consciousness. Nirdamti alpanai arza. I fell asleep, or I went into this unconsciousness upon my face to the ground. Vayigabi, the Malach touched me. Vayamideni al amdi, and he stood me up al amdi, where I was standing. We had the word Amdi, didn't we have that before? Vayavo, yes, in Pasuk 17, Vayavo Eitzel Amdi.
where I was standing, which was on the bank of the river Ulai, and he stood me, I was going to say he stood me up. That would not have been that would not have been good English. That wouldn't have been good English at all. Well, by the way, sometimes I do come up with good sentences. Last Sunday night in the Shir, the Parsha Shir in Shul, I said, when Paro says he's the god of the Nile, it's a denial of God. It just came out, and I stopped and I said, did you hear what I just said? And we repeated it. So, you know, I don't always say stood anybody up. Vayami Dani Al Umdi. Is that what, that's how Oscar translates it? He stood me up. That's even worse. He put me in my place.
Set me upright.
That's good. That's good. What's that? That's Sansino? Sansino 1, Art Scroll 0. That's much better translation than he stood me up. He stood me upright. That's good.
Straighten me up.
No, straighten me up. Vayome. And he said, Hinini Modiako. Et asher yiyeb acharit hazam. I am going to let you know what is going to be at the end of the anger. The end of days means when God's anger subsides. Ba'acharit hazam. Ki lemo'ed, because for the time, kates, there's an end. This is not an open-ended period of anger. There is a clear end to it all. And now he begins to explain to him. First of all, you should know that ha'ayil asher ra'ita bal hakronayim, the ram that you saw with the horns, the two horns represent the kings of Madai and Persia. And here again, as we said throughout the Sefer, Madai comes before Paras, because the first king, Daryavesh, was from Madai, and from then it went over to Paras. Paras was the mightier one of the two kingdoms. Therefore, the second horn grows taller and larger than the first one, because the second one is Persia. V'hatzafir v'hasair melech Yavon. Here he's been told clearly, the goat is the king of Yavon, the king of Greece. V'hakeren hagedolah shebein einav, the big horn that is between his eyes, hu hamelech harishon, is the first king. All of the Mepharshim here are agreed that this is Alexander the Great. There is no difference of opinion amongst the Mepharshim. It's Alexander the Great, and he's being told all of this in advance. And anything that you'll read elsewhere, you know, I got upset early in the early hours of this morning reading through Gretz. Gretz describes just, the historian Gretz describes, and he was part of the biblical criticism that did not see any divinity in the 24 books, holy books of the Tanakh. So therefore he has a page or two where he discusses this curious book called the Book of Daniel, claiming that the Book of Daniel was some kind of a polemic that was written around the time of the Hashmonaim. You know, somebody made it up. Stripping Daniel, as they stripped all of the Kisvei HaKadosh, of all of their sanctity, their holity, and their holiness and their purity. God is the God. But listen, this is, if it's done to Hamisha Chumshei Torah, so why shouldn't it be done to Sefer Daniel? So here we can get ready to tell you the Reform movement does not believe in the divinity of the Chumash. So before you know it, it'll be taking me to Bagatz because I said something terrible about the Reform movement. They don't believe it. They believe it's a human creation, and therefore you can do it whatever you want. It's totally not binding at all. And you can do what you want. Vanish Beret. And then the one that broke. It, the big horn broke. Vata'amodna arba tachteha, and four take her place. So here I pack a book. I xerox the names of the four. I want to learn the names of the four generals. who divided the empire of Alexander the Great. Ptolemy, everybody, that's most probably the best known of them all. Egypt. Lysimachus. I think I'm pronouncing it correctly. Lysimachus. Yeah. Cassander. 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 And then the next one who is well known, Seleucus. Which is the beginning. No. Ptolemy, Lysimachus, Cassander, and Seleucus.
Ptolemy is
silent
P. Yes. Is what?
P-T-O-L-E-M-Y. P-T, a silent P. So in the Gemara, it's Talmai. Tav, Lamed, Mem, Yud. Now, they divided the empire. As we said, Alexander the Great died when he was 32, at the peak of his power. And the four little crowns, the four little horns represent those four who divide his kingdom. By the way, once I was talking about those four, so what else did I tell you last week? I forgot. The four aircraft carriers, the Japanese aircraft carriers that went down at Midway, the Piryu, the Soryu, the Kagi, and the Akagi. And then I reminded myself, I want to learn the five boats of Cherbourg. So all these, I got this out. The boats sailed in two parallel columns: the Miznak, the Gaash, the Chanit, the Miftach, and the Reshef. Now, if you remember this, someday I'm but I have to hazard it over. Miznak, Gaash, Chanit, Miftach, Reshef. Very good. Okay. Those were the five boats of Cherbourg that the French had built for Israel and refused to deliver them. So New Year's Day 1969, when Israeli soldiers were still able to do great things, they went in and they stole them. And then they had paid for them already, yes. And they stole them, and then began a great chase across the Atlantic and through the Mediterranean, and they were able to outmaneuver all of the French ships, and all of the French planes couldn't find the five until they made their way. Yes, they were paid for. Yes, we said it wasn't still.
They took delivery.
Wasn't still.
They took delivery.
They took delivery, exactly. All right. So now he is saying very clearly, this is all historically true. Batamodna arba tachtema, four take the place of the one. Arba malchiot migoy ya'amodna, four kingdoms from that nation are going to stand below the chokhov. But none of them are going to have the strength of the original one. None of them will be an Alexander the Great. There are going to be four, none like him. Ube'achrit malchutam, and by the end of their kingdom, kehotem haposhim ya'amod melech az panim umevin chidot. Now, here the Mefarshim begin to move in two directions. Are they talking about the end of the Greek Empire already into the Roman Empire, and we're talking about Rome? Or is it the end of the Greek Empire and we're talking about Antiochus? Most of the Mephoshim say that this is Antiochus, really toward the end of the Greek Empire. Uba'acharit malchutam, at the end of their kingdom. Kehotem ha-poshim, two pshatim who the poshim are, and most probably, according to the Mephoshim, both are correct. The poshim are the Greeks and the Hellenistic Jews. Kehotem means when their deeds will have become complete. In other words, their evil deeds will have peaked. Tam, complete. Tam ben Islam. To the point that the punishment is going to come from heaven. Yamod Melech, there will arise a king, Azbanim.
pretty, but no one came. Why is it
called
like that?
Oh, no, it's only the last one. Mm-hmm. You're right. This pasuk is, it agrees exactly what you're saying. They're all benign until the last one. The Melech Az Panim is going to arise. Umevin Chidot. Now, the only one who, of all of the Greek Empire, who is referred to in a negative way, is the last one. The transgressors are Jews who have sinned. That's what the Sodom of Farshim says.
Wait a minute, is this after the four kings? After the four,
he's the last. In other words, he is. He's not the fifth. It was divided into four, but each one of the four then had one king, a second king, a third king. In other words, they remained four kingdoms. We're not counting individual kings, just like as in Madain Paras. Nobody counted individual kings. The great empire, which was Alexander's, was divided into four parts. One of those four ended up with a king who was Az Panim Umevin Chidot. He understood riddles. What it means that he understood riddles is going to be made clear in the psukim to come. He presented a face of himself that was different than he really was. He was a riddle. He made promises and he never kept them. He left the impression that he was a friend of the Jews but was working against them. He was smooth. He chalak lakot is the word that they use about him. And you'll see how with trickery and deceit he succeeds. He was a person of great deceit. Watch. Bo'atzam kocho, his strength became intensified. Velo b'kocho. We had these words before. Before, at the end of the pasuk, 22, when it said velo b'kocho, it referred that the successors of Alexander were not as mighty as Alexander. Here, the velo b'kocho, the Mefarshim say, means something else. He intensified his strength, and it was not because of his might. It wasn't because he was really strong, it was because of his deceit. He presented a certain image, and because of that image, he was able to deceive people into throwing themselves under his yoke. V'nifla'ot yashchit. He was able to destroy in what seemed to be a miraculous way. V'hitzliach. He succeeded, and he continued to do. He was absolute incarnate evil. I don't know whether we ever, we, you know, and Theophilus, I think, sort of in our mind's eye, we get the picture of him like an Ahasuerus, a little bit of a tipsy fellow. We don't take him seriously, but the fact is that Antiochus, just as Ahasuerus, was evil, cruel, brutal. And that's why he brought about the rebellion of the Hashmonaim. Jews rebel only when there is absolutely no other choice. It was a battle against incarnate evil. So he says, it was not because of his great strength. It was because of his deceit. And he was able to destroy the mighty ones. The Goy Atzum. Who is the Goy Atzum at the beginning of the Sefer Shemot? Atzum Varav. Klal Yisrael, he was able to destroy mighty ones, Va'am Kedoshim, and a holy people, because of his deceit. Bial Sichlo, through his intellect, the Malbim says, Ayedei Sichlo v'Targbulotav, Targbulotava, intrigue, good word, intrigue, trickery. And then v'hitzliach mirma b'yado. Now we have a word that spells it out even more. Through his mirma, through his, yes, the trickery and the deceit, u'bilivavo yagdil, and in his own heart, he sees himself greater than all, u'bishalva. and with absolute tranquility, peacefully, Yashit Rabin, he destroys many. He was able to deceive people into a sense of not being on guard. He's a friend. He's not going to stab us in the back. And he succeeded in doing that. And I think that that made him even more despised and more hated, in addition to the fact that he was extremely cruel. Valsar Sabin Yamod. And do you know who he stands against? He stands against Sar Sarim. Who is the Sar of all Sarim? The Sar of all Sarim is the famous one. He stands up against God himself. Who be'efes yad yishaver. Be'efes yad, without the hand of man, yishaver, he will be broken. It seems that there's a great deal of mystery that surrounds what most probably was the untimely death of Antiochus. That is untimely only from his point of view. It was more than timely in the view of all of those who were trampled by him. It seems there's some mystery, and in a sense, it's the Be'efes Yad Yishaver that also gives some of the Mefarshim reason to say that it's referring to Titus, the famous Gemara in Gittin that says, tells us the story of Titus on his way back after having conquered the Yerushalayim and destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, that a fly goes into his nose and begins to eat away at him. Also, without human hand and all this, and he's broken. Something mysterious happens at the end of Antiochus' life. When you saw the vision of evening and morning, the time, that was said, emetu. It's true, but v'ato you, Daniel, stone hechazon. Close that vision. Don't let it be known. Kiliyom in Davin, because it's for many days off into the future. The time is not to be known by others. And we've discussed this a number of times in the past. The idea that you can't come and tell the Jewish people, hang in over there, in 2,000 years Mashiach is going to be, just wait. It's better not to know. So he says, Stone Hechazon, close this vision, Kiliyamim Babim. Rani Daniel, and I, Daniel, Nihiyeti. The word Nihiyeti over here means I was broken. Venehaleti Yamim, and I was sick for days. Vo'okum, and despite that, I got up, Ve'eseh et Melechet HaMelech, I did the work of the king, Ve'eshtomim al Hamar'eh, and I was amazed about the vision. Vain Levin still doesn't understand it completely. Now the word Ve'eshtomen can either mean amazed, or Ve'eshtomen can also mean desolate, because he sees terrible, terrible tzavos that are going to come upon the Jewish people until the great day will come. Vain Levin, not finished yet. We're going to get back to the Shomen and to the Chazon and to the days, but I just want to see if I can read part. It's a big paragraph coming up, but most of it is going to be familiar, or it should be familiar to you. And if it's not familiar to you, don't admit it. Terrible thing, terrible, terrible suffering taking place before the coming of the Mashiach, that is described in many places. And by the way, when I think it's Hillel who said, Yete, let him come, the lo yachamine, and I don't want to see it. So first of all, he wants to express the idea that it will be terrible things. Like, you think that the Holocaust is not part of the Chevel Mashiach? It's not Shah. That precedes the coming of Mashiach. The period that precedes the coming of Mashiach is going to be a period of dramatic change and upheaval in the world. Now, change and upheaval are not good, because they shake people, and there will be wars. There's the war of Gog and Magog. There's going to be the great battle for Yerushalayim. The whole world will want to take Yerushalayim. What else is new, right? That's a whole world wanted. Yeah, it's going to be, there will be very, very difficult periods, but But the Nevi'im say that that Klal Yisrael will survive it. There will be those who will be lost in the process, but Klal Yisrael is going to survive it. And we are going to emerge ultimately victorious. I just have this, you know, because I'm going to be away. I just wanted to know if we're into the ninth chapter, that means all we have after this is the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th. Alright. Now what's important about this, and it's directly related to the past, directly related to this chapter, we're getting more and more into time. When? How long? When is the end? In the first year of Ahasuerus, of Dargavesh, the son of Ahasuerus, this is not Ahasuerus. Huh? It's not Ahasuerus who was married to Esther. It's an earlier Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus was one of the names that was used by the Persian dynasties. Huh? Like Paro. Or Avimelech. Plishtim had kings called Avimelech. Mizera Madai, from the seed of Madai. That there's the proof. Ahasuerus, our Ahasuerus, is Persian, not me. Asher Hamlach al Malchut Kazdim, who became king of the kingdom of the Kazdim. Who we talk about? We talk about the first Dargavesh. When we had the handwriting on the wall, Belshazzar was the king of Babel, and Beit Belalia, that night of the handwriting on the wall, Belshazzar was killed, the Babylonian Empire crumbled, and who becomes king? Dargavesh, the son of Ahasuerus, king of Madai. He's the first king. In the first year of his reign, Ani Daniel, Binoti Basorim, I Daniel, studied the books. Mispar Hashonim Hashem, Hoyo Dvar Hashem El Yirmiyahu Hanavi, the number of years that the word of God came to Yirmiyahu Hanavi, L'malot L'charvat Yerushalayim Shivim Shama, that 70 years should be complete for the destruction of Yerushalayim. What is it that's bothering him? What is it that's bothering him? Something that was bothering the whole world. Yirmiyahu in a few places spoke about 70 years. That the churban, the dullness, the desolation, the destruction will be 70 years. And nobody knew for certain when the 70 years began precisely. So therefore, if you don't know when it begins, then you don't know when it's going to end. I think I once mentioned that the Rambam, says it, I believe, in his letter to the Jews of Yemen. So the Rambam says, take a look. There was a brit bein habetachin, there was a covenant that was entered into between God and Avraham Avinu, where he tells them that your children are going to be enslaved for 400 years. And they didn't really know when the 400 years began, and they have therefore no idea when the 400 years were going to end. And the truth is, we don't even know what Ad Hayom Hazeh. Because, yes, there is one opinion that says that the 400 years begin with the birth of Yitzhak, which therefore means that when they left Mitzrayim, they left at the end of the 400 years. The sons of Ephraim, we learned that in the Shir yesterday, the sons of Ephraim started the calculation from the Brit Bein HaBetachin, which was 30 years earlier, and therefore they attempted to break out of Mitzrayim 30 years earlier, and they made a terrible mistake. And then there are those who say that the 400 years begin when Jews come to Egypt, which means therefore that they left in middle of the time, when only 210 years had passed, and there's still another 190 to go. And there are many Midrashim that say, yeah, it was in the middle of the time, because if God would have left Jews to remain in the time, they would have been lost, assimilated completely, there would have been nobody left to save, so therefore God had to extricate them from the time before the time, which means therefore they're going to have to make up that time later. But I think I once mentioned to you, Ad Bash, the first night of Pesach is the same as the first night of Tisha B'Av, or the better way to say it is, the day of the week, the day of the week upon which the Seder falls is the same. That year you'll know that Tisha B'Av is going to come out on that same night. Why? Huh? In Chutzah it's 2 days Tisha B'Av? Okay. Anyway, so because the two are related. In what sense are they related? If you hold that Jews did not go out of Mitzrayim at the end of the 400 years, but they were removed earlier, that means they have time to, there's still time to be served.
and therefore there has to be another Golus. Therefore the Pasuk says, in Eicha Hizbi'ani Bamerodim Hirvani Lama. Four words in the Gerat Eicha. Hizbi'ani Bamerodim. God sated me with Maror. Hirvani Lama. He gave me Lama to drink, a very bitter drink. Merodim represents the night of Pesach, because Hizbi'ani Bamerodim. Ultimately, what had to happen was Hirvani Lama, that he would give me to drink the bitter drink of the destruction of the second, of the first and second Beit HaMikdash. It means, therefore, the Rambam is telling the Jews of Yemen, who were looking forward to being saved, they were looking forward to Mashiach, they suffered terribly under Islam in Yemen. So he told them, listen, nobody knew when the 400 years began, they didn't know when the 400 years ended. Here we see that Daniel doesn't know, not only Daniel and Achashverosh and Belshazzar, they don't know when the 70 years, which is a much smaller period of time, they don't know when the 70 years begin and when the 70 years end. If they don't know when the 70 years begin and end, how are we to even have any hope of knowing when the Golus is going to end, if within that brief period of 70 years, which was clearly stated by Yirmiyahu, they still didn't know. So there's really no way in which we should be able to know when is the end of this third Golus in which we found ourselves. So in a sense, what's happening over here in this parak, at the beginning of the parak anyway, is Daniel is telling us that it's closed, it's concealed from us. We don't know. So what is it? He wants to know when do the 70 years begin. Because he is losing patience. So he says, V'etner panai El Hashem ve'elukim levakesh tefillah v'tachanonim v'tzom v'sak v'eifa. So therefore, he turned his face to God, his God, in order to ask in prayer and supplication, in fasting, sackcloth, and ash. V'et palalo Hashem elukai, and I prayed to God my God, v'et v'adeh, and I confessed the sins of our people, v'omra, and I said, Bano Hashem, Hakel, Hagadol, Bahanora, this you should remember from the beginning of the year, huh? Shmoyev, but he doesn't say Gibor. He refers to God as Hakel, Hagadol, Bahanora. He leaves out Gibor. Early on in the year, I think, I gave you a Xerox of the Gemara in Masechet Yoma, where the Gemara says the following. Lama, when we talk about the Anshei Knesset HaGadol, Lama, Nikru, Shemal, Anshei Knesset HaGadol, why were they called the men of the Great Assembly? Shehechazidu, Atpada, L'yoshna, they returned the crown to its original glory. Moshe Rabbeinu in Torah refers to God as Hakel, HaGadol, HaGibor, Hanora. Boy, Yirmiyahu referred to God as Hakel, HaGadol, HaGibor, and did not call him Nora. Why didn't he call him Nora? So he says, there are Goyim going through the Holy of Holies. Where is the fearsomeness of God? But Daniel, along came Daniel, and he said, Hakel HaGadol V'Hanorah, but he did not refer to God as Gibor, as a mighty one. Why didn't he refer to God as a mighty one? Because he said, God's people are enslaved in the world. Where is his great Gevurah? Along came the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, and they returned the crown to its original glory when they composed the Shemona Esrei. They described God as Hakel, HaGadol, HaGibor, HaNora. So here is the place, here it is where Daniel cannot refer to God as Gibor. So I said, Ono Hashem, Hakel, HaGadol, the great and the fearsome God, Shomer HaBrit V'Hachesed, the one who keeps his covenant and his kindness, La'ohavav, to those who love him, all the Shomnei Mitzotav, and those who keep his mitzvot, Chotonu V'Avinu V'Hirshanu U'Maradnu, we have erred, we have sinned, we have been evil, we have rebelled, V'Sor Mitzotecha U'Mishmatecha, we turned away from your commandments and your statutes, Lo Shomanu El Avodecha Nevi'im, we didn't listen to your servants, the prophets, Asher Dibru B'Shimcha, that spoke in your name, El Melacheinu Sareinu V'Avotenu, those prophets who spoke to our kings, our princes and our fathers, V'El Kol Am Horetz, the prophets spoke to all the people of the land, L'cho Hashem HaTzidoko V'Lonu Boshet HaPonim Kayom HaZed, you God are the righteous one.
Yes.
I think that you better reserve judgment. The truth is, some of these sort of appear indeed in the slichas, yeah? But
Women don't say Tachlon on Monday and Thursday, or for that matter, they don't even say it Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Friday. A section of the Tachanun that is said after Shon Esrei on Monday and Thursday is a part of chapter 9. We'll take a look in the Siddur, it says chapter 9. L'char Shamat Tzaka. You got a righteous. This is a basic part of Jewish consciousness, that we accept upon ourselves God's divine decree. This is what's called Tziduk Hadin, to say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Dayan Ha, and that God is right. Hatzur in Hazinu Hatzur Tamim Palo Tichol Derachav Mishpat Keil Emuna Ve'Ein Avel. God is the God of faith, and there is no wrong that He does. Lachor Hashem Atzok V'Lanu Boshet Haparim Kayom. As we are the ones who should be embarrassed. Le'ish Yehuda Le'Yoshe Yerushalayim. ולכל ישראל הקרובים והרחוקים בכל הארצות אשר הבטחתם שם. The people of Yehuda, the inhabitants of Yerushalayim, all of Israel, near and far, in all of the lands that they have been, אשר הבטחתם שם, that you cast them out there. במעלם אשר אמרו בך, we are ashamed because of the sin that we have sinned against you. השם God, לנו בושת הפנים. We are the ones who are embarrassed. L'melachenu, l'savenu, l'avazenu, our kings, our princes, and our fathers, asher chotanu lach, we sinned before you. L'ashem elokeinu harachamim v'haslichos. Mercy and forgiveness is yours, God. Ki mordadnu bo, because we have rebelled against him. L'lo shavanu v'kol Hashem elokeinu, we didn't listen to the voice of God. We got the letter of the Torah, we got to go in his Torah. Asher matan l'famenu, that he gave before us, b'yad avodah ha-nevim, through the hands of his servants and prophets. V'chol Yisrael avru et Torah-techa. I'm not going to go into explaining that. In other words, he's of course making quite a generalization over here. All of Israel have transgressed your Torah. All right, we will explain that yet. The sor lebilti shma bekolecha, we have turned away, so that we have not listened to your voice. Vatitach aleinu ha'olah v'hashvua, and you rained down upon us ha'olah v'hashvua, the curse and the oath. Asher ketuvah b'Torah Moshe, ever the thing that is written, the Torah of Moshe, the servant of God, ki chatanu lo, because we sinned him. What he's referring, of course, is to the Tochacha that appears in Parshat Chukotai and in Parshat Ki Tavar. All right, I think we'll just have to stop here. I would like, the truth is, you're going to think it's too much homework, but it's not too much homework. And you're going to think it's too much homework because all students feel that any homework is too much. But the fact is that you should be able to read through its Hebrew now, and certainly with the translation, read from here to the end of the Sefer. There will be a number of psukim that you simply will be incapable of understanding. Don't feel too bad. You won't be the only ones. But the general gist of what's being said, the flow of history, you'll be able to get it. I feel very bad, and I feel very guilty, and I'm very ashamed that I have to go to Kutz Lawrence.